Thanks for joining us for the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises. MassMEP believes that there are some elements to a manufacturer's business, whether it's finding their inefficiencies, strengthening their internal processes, or even unlocking their growth, that can extend a manufacturer beyond its current limitations. So every episode, take a journey with us as we speak with manufacturers, legislature, subject matter experts, and so many more as we head down the path of manufacturing across the state of Massachusetts. Whether we're in Boston, Worcester, or out in Springfield, maybe even in the Berkshires, we'll be here every week and we'll explain to you more about manufacturing and what's happening right in your own backyard. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast. I'm your host, Haley Steele, Marketing Manager with MassMEP. And today, the podcast we have for you is called Circling Back on the Wagons. And we called it that because we haven't talked to our two guests in a while, obviously for most reasons is they're very busy, very, very busy. So that was it. And also, we had this little thing called a pandemic. So we wanted to catch up with you guys and see what's going on out in Western Mass. So without further ado, I would like to welcome our two guests. We have with us for the first time, Mr. Ben Sosny, Executive Director at the BIC, which is the Berkshire Innovation Center. Welcome, Ben.
Thanks, Haley. Thanks for having me. Appreciate
it. You're welcome. Thank you for joining us. And we have a returning guest, Mr. Jeffrey Thomas. And Jeffrey is the executive director of Lever. I always have to think it through to make sure I say it the right way. So thank you, Jeffrey, for joining us today.
Thanks, Haley. And I'll just note, you know, circling the wagons is a good theme. Ben and I are both out here in Western Mass. And, you know, being in the West, we do have a lot of wagons.
Oh yeah, this one's going to be a good one, I have a feeling. maybe by the end of this, you'll be able to explain to us a little bit more how you guys use those wagons out in Western Mass. Yeah. So I wanted to bring these guys in today. Like we said, we haven't spoken to them in a while. And Ben has been the highlight lately. Jeffrey, you've probably seen this a lot. He's all over the papers now, you know, like everywhere. Although you are too, from what I understand. You both are very out in the media now. So I thought he had this great little quote, and I thought, we'll get into that and we'll use that. But before we go that far, I wanted to ask you guys both a question. And the question I'm going to ask you is, did either of you ever think you would be in the positions doing what you do, making the impacts that you make when you were growing up?
I'll take it, Jeffrey, if you want first. I would say not expected to be operating in the innovation space or with advanced manufacturers or the tech industry. I think when I was in college and in law school, and after that, I remember taking the job at the BIC, and you post something on, you know, my LinkedIn page. I got a lot of like friends reaching out to me, like, "What are you doing? And how did you get involved in that?"
Exactly.
As a big change for me, I started my career in journalism, and then I worked for the New York State court system for about 7 years as an appellate attorney. I think the thing that I would is not surprising to me or to people around me is that I would want to come back to the Berkshires and work on economic development projects in the community. That part of it's not surprising. Most would probably presume I'd want to, you know, work on a rebuilding Wacona Park in Pittsfield or something like that. At its core, the BIC is an economic development project, and doing that in the Berkshires is not surprising and is right up my alley. But the science background is I'm learning.
All right, Jeffrey, how about for you?
certainly wouldn't have imagined a role like this for myself as a kid. I wouldn't have imagined it 10 years ago. I'm basically a professional nerd. And if I've done anything significant in life, it's figure out how to get people to pay me to be a nerd. That's been my career. And that's how I came to entrepreneurship. Love the problems, love entrepreneurs. Just I've always been attracted to problem solving, and found a really interesting opportunity here to solve the problem of economic development. The fact that the economy out here resembles, you know, Appalachia much more than it does anything in the 128 area. I'm delighted that Ben Sosny is getting quoted, and because I'm actually an introvert by nature, I don't care for a lot of this public stuff. So it gives me the chance to just say what Ben said.
Well, so in the Berkshire Eagle, Ben, you were interviewed, and I will say, I'm doing air quotes right now because people can't see me. So air quotes, his statement was, the article was basically, it was about, you know, the pandemic in the past year, because you opened, the BIC opened right as, I mean, you were at the height of everything, and then bam, you kind of got slammed with this pandemic. So you've had an interesting 12 months, to say the least, right? And in this article, which is kind of what you spoke about, your quote was, on the flip side, there was no better way for us to learn what we're doing. If our goal is to help companies rapidly innovate and rapidly prototype and learn new technologies and adjust and be nimble. That's pretty much what you guys had to do, correct?
Yeah, so the article was written because it was the one year anniversary of our grand opening, which was February 28th of last year. We opened the BIC with 350 people here, roughly, shoulder to shoulder. And the next day, the very next day, although I don't think they knew it at the time, Berkshire Health Systems had the first COVID case in the Commonwealth, the hospitalized COVID case in the Commonwealth. I think they actually found out about a week later. And so, you know, we didn't shut down, but of course, we're restricted use pretty quickly on our facility. And, you know, personally, we transitioned, it was very quick, you know, we transitioned from completing a construction project on a challenging site, you know, the old former GE site, to hosting our first event, which happened to be our biggest event and probably the biggest one we'll have for quite a long time. So it was sort of, you know, frankly, we were and still are a startup very much. So, you know, it was everything from, okay, we have someone who can take pictures and, you know, make invites and who's our list, to where are the lights in this place? And how do we, you know, we have this new sound system. How do we turn this thing on? And this is, you know, just brand new. So it was, we were kind of, I feel like in sort of a sprint mode to pull off the event and to make sure nothing, you know, sort of went off well and professional. And obviously we had the governor and folks from Boston out, and a lot of guests. And it was for many people their first sight at the BIC, you know, it was for the first time they walked through, and we wanted to make sure we did it right. And so I remember, you know, the governor's schedule was for mid-morning. And so by 2 or 3 o'clock, we were pretty, 3 or 4 o'clock maybe, the place was pretty quiet, and we were sort of winding down. And I remember sitting down and thinking, like, oh, I'm gonna just sort of celebrate all night with everybody. And by 4 o'clock, I was like falling asleep in my chair because it had just been like an exhausting buildup. Mm-hmm. And then in our minds, we were gonna, okay, settle in and really open up the facility and get some equipment installed and start to generate programming and all that stuff about operating. But quickly, we obviously had to transition into the COVID response. So I think in a lot of ways it was, we were at a somewhat of an advantage, because it's we didn't have 12 months or 2 years or 3 years of programming that we were trying to convert to fit into a pandemic. You know, it was more like we were we're still pretty much a clean slate in terms of programming. So we could really tailor our program to the stuff we did to sort of what was appropriate during the pandemic. But yeah, if for, you know, if our goal, and we like to talk about that, is providing, you know, access to a facility and equipment that will allow companies, either young companies or existing companies, opportunities to quickly experiment, rapidly prototype, try something, throw it out, try it again, throw it out, try it again, and keep that process going. You know, it was a great time to just be thrown right in the water. And what better way to learn than with a bunch of companies who are really interested in trying something new. And often it wasn't always trying something new because there was an economic opportunity. You know, a lot of times it was trying something because they were frankly looking to help any way they could with PPE, you know, and whether it was a company, you know, like Boyd Technologies, who's looking to stay in that space for a while, or a company who's just like, hey, we're in the plastics industry. If we can help, you know, build some, you know, compartment things or things to help offices or things to help the hospital or things to help EMTs, you know, it's not like we're going to go in that line of business. But if we can just do something that can quickly make an impact while everyone's in crisis, that's great. And can you help us do that? So, yeah, it was just sort of like, hey, as to be totally just thrown in the fire. And I think it made us as a staff understand our capabilities and you know, sort of like learning to really work together and work with the companies that we were, you know, had the opportunity to work with. It sort of increased our learning curve.
Yeah, that seems to be the most common theme that we've heard across the board with so many companies. And even us at MassMEP, we felt the same way. It was one of the things where we really learned a lot about ourselves. You know, it was probably the best SWOT analysis you could ever go through, right? As an organization, whether it was, you know, down to the products that we offered and to the people that work with us and all of that. So it was definitely one of those curves. But if for anybody that hasn't been to the BIC, you know, and I don't know, you kind of give me an idea when you're, you know, the doors are open and when people are coming back in and stuff. It is an amazing facility. I was fortunate enough, I was able to go out, I think I was out there a couple of times, and what a cool space, like really, really great area to be in as well. It's a beautiful area out there too. Everybody says, oh, it's a drive. And I'm like, it's Massachusetts. It's not that big, right? It can't be that much of a drive, but it is a beautiful drive. And it's a lot of history out there and a lot of stuff that, you know, to learn from, but your space alone and what you're doing in your facility, it is a pretty awesome place to be. So if you ever get a chance and when the doors are open, I would say, go out, and I'm sure you guys would be more than willing to give some tours and show people around. And what are you guys thinking, or what are you getting into right now, and kind of where are you headed with some things?
Well, first of all, I appreciate that, Haley. Yeah. And you know, we've stayed open, obviously in limited capacity following guidance from the state and the city. But one of our goals initially and sort of where we were pre-pandemic in that short period we had was to really start welcoming people in to show them what we're doing. Because, you know, I always think of the BIC as a resource for the community up here. It's a resource for the technology advanced manufacturing sector. It's a resource for the various municipalities or educational partners. And, you know, in a lot of ways, we want to react and kind of maximize that resource to people's needs. So for me, having people come through this space and understanding their needs is so important. You know, what we've said from the outset is there's a lot of amazing organizations and Lever being at the top of that list of people who are doing amazing things out in the Berkshires. And what we don't want to see out here, and I think there's a great sort of teamwork and cooperation is duplicating resources. There's plenty of stuff to be done. So what we really try to do is amplify and connect and fill in spaces where we see a need. I think that was a big thing when I first stepped into my role at the BIC, is getting used to the ecosystem out here and understanding all the people who are doing different things. Everybody from, you know, BCC to Lever to groups at Williams College do great things, and in South County there's some great organizations. So understanding what everyone's doing and the lay of the land and where there's overlaps and where people are connecting effectively and where they're not, and we could help that, and kind of providing a centralized hub. There's been, you know, there's some really amazing, and look, I grew up here, and I like to say I was taken to every cultural institution as a kid. I take my kids to Hancock Shaker Village and Massmoke and the Berkshire Museum and all the wonderful cultural institutions we have out here. Nobody took me growing up here to General Dynamics or Lenco Armored Vehicles or LTI Glass and was like, this is what's going on out here, in terms of some of these really amazing companies. So, you know, we're learning that, and then we're trying to just help those organizations grow, and how you can, and you're seeing young organizations come out here, which is really exciting. I think, you know, probably the one of the best examples of an organization that's really been supported by the ecosystem is someone, is a group that Jeffrey's worked with very closely and much closer than we have, is United Aircraft Technologies. Just an amazing group. And I know they went through the Lever program. I don't know how many years ago it was now, but I know they've kept in touch and been supportive. They've recently moved out to Pittsfield from the Troy area. And they not only have a great product, they're very, and Jeffrey can speak to this better than I can, but they're really great people. And they're really interested in supporting the community and the Berkshires. They want to ingrain themselves here. And hopefully it's a great opportunity for a company that Lever helped really, you know, early on get their feet under them and help them grow. They also work closely with one of our longtime members, Synecon Plastics, who is just a really, you know, there's a lot of injection molders out here, and a lot of them do fabulous work. Synecon happens to be a very good fit for UAT, both in what they produce. And so there's a great bond that's growing there. And UAT is one of those young companies that Lever's helped grow, now located in Pittsfield, with support from Mayor Tyer and the city of Pittsfield. And you know, we hope to incorporate them in some of the things that we're doing at the BIC. And I'm sure they'll you know, they run a great internship program. They're really good at, you know, bringing talent here. So, you know, we're really just looking to help organizations like that, like EMA, who's here, like Dive Technologies, grow and take that next step and continue to grow and help them. I mean, I think, you know, one of the things that we all know is finding the talent to grow and building a little knowledge hub out here so that companies say, hey, I know there's real estate, I know there's access to great, you know, equipment and good supply chains, but I need people. And we really want to make this a welcoming environment for those people.
I'll just pick up on that, Ben, and I think you made some great notes there. The way I describe our region to people that don't know it is, we have really a wonderful community. It's a helping, giving, and a sharing kind of community out here. When it comes to economic development, there's really a lot of strength from a lot of places. Ben touched on several of them. The way I help people understand it is that all these groups are pulling in the same direction, but they're using different ropes. Mm-hmm. And that's the best way to do it, because going into it, you don't know what the most important ropes to pull on are going to be. It's a constant trial and error. And, you know, I think we saw that things that were looking really promising. For example, you know, we ran a co-working space that until prior to COVID, you know, that's changed a lot now. So you have to be nimble even when you're, you know, pulling on your favorite rope. I think Lever is also focused on innovators and entrepreneurs. My partner at Lever, Brent Filson, and I, we often talk about ourselves as a concierge service for entrepreneurs. And we often ask them, you know, what do you need? How can we be helpful? And when we can be helpful with the things that we offer, which include a lot of mentoring, access to a pretty phenomenal group of experts. We have a fund, and so we help capitalize startups. But we can't provide everything. And so that's why this ecosystem is so great, because we, you know, we couldn't provide space or equipment for a company like United Aircraft or EMA, no problem. We could just call up Ben and say, hey, Ben, you know, we want to introduce you to this company. They might be a fit. And that, of course, goes both ways. The final point I want to pick up on that Ben made is that the entrepreneur is the scarce resource here. We see it most acutely when we look to make investments. You know, we've got to invest in things that can have potential return tenfold. That's a high bar. And so that's been our key focus, is developing that pipeline of innovators and entrepreneurs. And we're really pleased at how well that's going. Every year it gets better and better, and companies are coming into us that are more and more mature. How we've been impacted by COVID has been almost all to the positive. We're in the middle of a challenge program. So this is essentially a competition for entrepreneurs. We made a commitment to this group of people that one of them was going to get a grant by a certain timeline. So, you know, it wasn't like we could hit the pause button. So we pivoted to remote. I'd not really used Zoom until March of 2020. But we quickly found that it was a very adequate platform, and also that it gave us opportunity to do programming and to engage with entrepreneurs in new and different ways. Shortly after that, we were commissioned by the Massachusetts Technology Collaborative to run a series of challenges focused on the response to COVID.
Yeah. Yep.
And we were able to do those statewide. We had companies in the same challenge from Cape Cod and Worcester and all over. And it was as if we were all in the same room together. Of course we weren't. So that's a little bit of the, it's funny. It's kind of we're talking about the same thing, Ben and me.
Yeah.
But I hopefully in hearing us talk about them, you see that we have different lenses.
Yeah.
But there's lots of synergy and collaboration, and we're all working together toward the right things. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, you can see it too in the connections, and you know, and that was even for us, how we all interlace with each other, you know, with our organizations. And we're, you know, the goal for all of us is we're all here as a resource, and that we just want everybody to excel and have the opportunities that they may not see are available to them, but we know exist. And so we can find a way to you know, approach them and say, here's what you have. And it's a nice opportunity. And we're lucky, we're kind of right in the center, so we can reach out across, and it's great. We were, you know, we obviously were part of the Lever Intrapreneur Challenges. Those are really exciting. And that was really neat to be able to see that process and how it went. You know, maybe you can tell me if I'm wrong here, but it really took off, right? I don't know if your expectations were that it was going to be, you know, as big as it was. And then you ended up, were there four challenges?
Yeah, we're just launching the fourth challenge this week, as a matter of fact. And you're right, it was it it vastly exceeded our expectations. I wanted to get back to something you talked about being in the center. I was thinking about this before our call today. I think if you could map the center of the state's economy,
yeah,
it'd probably be somewhere inside 128, right?
Yeah.
Now, I think if Ben and the BIC and Lever and all the other groups out here doing this work are successful, we're going to move that center out west.
Yeah.
Now, the center may not be far outside 128 in a few years, but the point is it's moving in the west direction.
Yeah.
That's a nice visual, but I think also there's a real opportunity now because our COVID has fundamentally changed how we think about urban areas, rural areas. And of course, we're now so much more networked. Mm-hmm. And I know I'm certain Ben is as excited as I am to see a renewed interest in our region at a lot of levels, to live here, to work here. And that's something where I'm just grateful for this opportunity, Haley, to talk about all the amazing assets that are here. I would say to anyone listening, mm-hmm. reach out to Ben or me. Let us tell you about what's going on here. You may be amazed.
Yeah. Oh, they will. They will be amazed. And I was going to ask you that question. Either one of you noticed, and I think you pretty much answered it for me, Jeffrey, in saying that, you know, since the pandemic, definitely people's perspectives have changed significantly. So do you think, you know, now this has really started to open up more doors and it's now's the time for you guys to kind of come in and sweep them off their feet and bring them out west, right?
100%, and I would echo everything Jeffrey said there. And I'm not sure it's the time to bring them out here and sweep them off their feet. It may be the time to just keep them here because yeah. they're here. What's, you know, I don't know if you've received this, Jeffrey. We don't live far apart, and I know for the first time since I bought my house about 10 years ago, I'm getting postcards or flyers in my mailbox asking me if I want to sell my house because the real estate market is so hot out in the Berkshires. But I think that's all over the county. There was an article in the Eagle about it. And people are here. People from the Boston metro area, people from the New York metro area are here. Some of them have been here for a long time as weekenders or as visitors, and they've right. you know, done Tanglewood and they've done Mass Mocha and they do the outdoor, you know, activities, whether they're skiers or hikers. But I think they're looking at it from a bit of a different perspective, not just as a, what can I do when I escape to the Berkshires on the weekend, but maybe I can stay here. Maybe I, you know, there's a lot of opportunities. A lot of people are now working either obviously fully remotely, partially remotely. Their lives, their ability to work remotely is, you know, dramatically different than it was a year ago. And I think there, you know, a lot of people I've spoken to have, you know, some of the new residents or new, you know, people who have had second homes or just here a lot more now are kind of not sure, you know, they're, when you say, what are you doing next year? What are you doing when this, are you going back to the city? Are you going back to Boston? They say, I don't know, you know, and I know people with young children have said to me, geez, we hadn't really planned on it. We just wanted to get our kids out of the city for during the pandemic. And now they're into school and they like it. They're starting to have some community here. And frankly, we're spread out over, you know, 2,000 square feet as opposed to 500 square feet. And it's hard to put the genie back in the box. So people, I've been approached by more and more people who have been in the Berkshires and are now looking at it from a different perspective, as opposed to a vacation place or a ski place or somewhere to escape to, could I really live here too? Could I live and work here? And I think what doesn't get a lot of publicity are the companies that are already here. It's not really starting from scratch. There's some really amazing resources and some amazing opportunities that are here. And so I think as opposed to the, you know, it's not, sure, we'll welcome them and encourage them to get here, but they're already here. How do we keep them here?
Right. And how do we bring new opportunities to those companies?
Yeah.
You know, I think it's another thing that we've seen is a renewed emphasis on domestic supply chain,
mm-hmm.
right? Yep. I think we got a real big wake up call in the early days of COVID about the fragility of single sourcing a lot of stuff. And to Ben's point, there is an extraordinary legacy of manufacturing in Western Massachusetts that dates back to, you know, the 19th century. And it certainly suffered in the 50s, 60s, 70s as manufacturing, you know, moved offshore. But what we've gotten, what we see a lot out here are what I call niche manufacturers. These are sort of low volume, highly specialized plastics, machining, currency in Dalton, films and printing Ben could help me instantiate the list. So we've had a lot of fun talking with innovators from the eastern part of the state and connecting them with manufacturers and suppliers and supply chain support out in Western Mass. And I think that's a really exciting opportunity that couldn't, who could have predicted it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how do you two intertwine with each other? I mean, we kind of touched on it a little bit, but do you, you know, events and activities, and I know, you know, like you said, Jeffrey, you had somebody came to you, but they needed the space. So you were like, oh, we can, let's get in touch with the BIC and let's talk to Ben and let's, but are there other ways that you guys kind of, you know, have interlaced over, obviously speaking to the two of you off the record, I feel like you two have been friends for years and you've known each other for, you know, for ages. So
for at least, I don't know how many more months, Jeffrey, I'm one of Jeffrey's constituents, you know, on his, as town selectman, so.
Oh, you had to go there. My favorite time to engage with Ben is on a Sunday morning. Most Sunday mornings, he is out in Williamstown with his young family, his beautiful young family, and that's been great for me. Just to made me feel better just seeing you guys. Truth be told.
Yeah, just trying to keep our heads on straight. And
for example, we just had the Berkshire Manufacturing Innovation Challenge wrap up last week. Four really exciting companies. The winner has invented a wearable IV, so people can get rid of the IV pole, and you know they can move around, and it's pretty cool. Ben did the welcoming remarks for that. And something that was important to us was, so we had this little group of people that are interested in manufacturing innovation. You know, we want to make sure that they got to see who Ben is and hear a little bit about the BIC. So it's just one example. Coming up in September 16 and 17, I think we'll be doing our most substantial collaboration with the BIC, which is going to be the Lever Innovation Summit. This is the second time we will done this biennial event. It's really a celebration of innovation here in the region and also more broadly. We've got some exciting keynote speakers lined up, including the new CEO of the Massachusetts Life Sciences Center, Ken Turner. We'll be talking about rural entrepreneurship. It will be a theme. And also diversity, equity, and inclusion in technology is going to be a key theme of the summit. And of course, we'll be featuring some of our favorite entrepreneurs and innovators and just idea people that we've gotten to know, people like Ben.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask you the question that everybody's probably thinking, are you going to do this virtually? Are you going to try and do this hybrid? Like, what are you guys hoping? I know what our thought is by September of 2021, but what are you guys thinking?
Well, and Ben and I have spoken at length about this. For this event, certainly it will be a hybrid event. So people can choose to participate in person or they can choose to participate virtually. And I'll be honest, Haley, I think we'll be doing remote programming indefinitely.
Wow. Yeah.
I think that's going to be the new normal. And even when the COVID risk is over, you know, I think we need to accommodate. It's a point of inclusion and yeah. one, and
yeah.
we've stopped driving our cars. but anyway, I should let Ben say a little bit about how the BIC is adapting to being an offer some of these programs, because I know they're doing some really cool stuff.
Thanks, Jeffrey. And yeah, in just in generally speaking, you know, we have an amazing facility, as Haley, you know, graciously pointed out. But you know, we won't are looking to activate this facility. Obviously, the pandemic has you know, been a struggle in that sense. But you know, Lever brings tremendous programming, so I'm really looking forward to the innovation summit and all kinds of ways that we can you know, utilize their expertise there in doing great programming. But I think 100% we feel like, you know, I have a bit of a background in digital media, and it's something that's always been, you know, I felt really strongly the potential. And when I first toured the studio, the BIC, sorry, long before pandemic hit, it was still a construction site. I kind of looked around and said, geez, this is just a giant studio. It's a giant showcase in a lot of ways. And we were going to trend towards that direction of really, you know, to have a little window into what's going on out here, really try to do as much, you know, literally make it into a digital media studio. Many of our spaces, I mean, it's just sort of a flexible studio space. So the pandemic really just accelerated that, and it made it much easier for me to make the case. It wasn't even, you know, it was a question. So we've pushed really hard on that and have partnered with some member companies, large and small, you know, everything from a one person documentary film company that I've known for a long time to VidMob is a member of the BIC who does obviously tremendous stuff in the space, to really be able to do just high end professional events in a hybrid mode that Jeffrey's talking about, or a virtual mode. We've done, you know, just taking advantage of our big open space with good light and the ability to capture good sound. We've done a number of events during the pandemic. And I think I agree with Jeffrey 100%. As we transition, and even when the COVID risk is gone, we've learned a lot and have recognized the benefits of being able to tap into audiences and speakers and participants all over the place. You know, that's something that even when we reactivate the BIC and start rubbing shoulders in here, we don't want to lose that. That was a tremendous gain. Not just that we know the technology now, but everyone out there knows it. So, you know, I have little kids who call grandma, and the fact that my mom gets back to me sometimes and says, I can't talk, I'm on a Zoom. It's like, I can't even fathom her saying that a year ago. You know, I'm on a Zoom meeting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, you know, it's so accessible. So we're really going to, you know, push that. And I think it's a great model to do the Innovation Summit that way, be able to have some people here. And obviously we'll see about the numbers, but hopefully we can have a good crowd here and a good crowd out in cyberspace.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we feel the same way. And that's, you know, that's where we're going as well. We believe this hybrid way is the best way to do it. At one point we would look at it as though we had different regions across our state. You know, from the Mass MEP perspective, we had the West, we had the Northeast, and we had the Southeast. Well, we don't even think about that. We don't even put those limitations on ourselves anymore. Now we just, you know we always covered all of Massachusetts, and that's what was important to us, but we really do cover all of Massachusetts. And it's nice to know that, you know, one of our first, you know, events that we did do a virtual event with you, Ben, out at the BIC, and we've come a long way since that year. A lot has changed. We've learned a lot of best practices, but we have found that it does make even some of our workshops and our training sessions, it allows people to be wherever they need to be and still be a part of something, you know, maybe in a bigger picture as well at the same time. So it really is why it, you know, unfortunately, why it took us to something like this to make everybody go, hey, yeah, we can totally do this. I have no idea if this, but I agree. I think this is the way to go, but we'll definitely be behind you on that. We'll be, we will be pushing forward for the Innovation Summit in September. So that'll be, you know, keep us tagged in your loops, and we will do the same as well, because that's going to be a great event for people to attend, whether it's in their cyberspace or if they're actually going to be able to get out there as well. And if you can drive out there in September, why not, right? Go make the drive. It's a, like I said, it's a beautiful drive. It really is a nice, it's a nice drive out there. So yeah. And you never know, they may get out there, they may not turn around and come back.
The Berkshires in September is about as good as it gets. So
yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful place. So well, I want to thank you guys for both being on here with me today. Obviously, you know, you can go if you want further information. They do, their websites are Lever is leverinc.org. And then your, the BIC, I call it the BIC because that's what I know it as, but it's BerkshireInnovationCenter.com is the website for them. So thank you, Ben. Thank you, Jeffrey, for joining me today. And hopefully we can have you guys back again. I hope it's not as long as it was this last time. I have a feeling Jeffrey will probably have you back with all the things that you've got going on, but would definitely love to maybe do a little revisit right before the Innovation Summit or maybe right after. And let's talk about what you got going on and who you have lined up and, you know.
Or how about this? How about a live podcast from the Innovation Summit?
I'm in. I will totally do it. I love it. That's a great idea. I'm going to put it in. I'm going to put those days in. Oh, that's fantastic. I like it. Oh, see, always innovating this one, always innovating. That's why he does what he does. So yeah. So thanks guys for joining me today. Thank you everybody else for joining us at the Mass MEP Manufacturing Podcast. You can subscribe to our channel on Apple Podcasts or through Spotify or on our website at massmep.org. And we'll see you next time, whether it's in our space, your space, or cyberspace.
Thank you for listening to the Mass MEP Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises. You can subscribe to our channel anywhere you listen to your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and you can always go to our website at massmep.org. So we'll see you next time, whether it's our space, your space, or cyberspace.